Thank you, President. Good morning. We would like to welcome again and thank you for yesterday's dialogue. It was, I consider it was very productive. And today we'll continue, and I will start, and then my co-rapporteur Santiago will continue. With regard to the non-refoulement article, you said in your reply to the list of issues that the law clearly provides reasons for imposing the expulsion of a person. Could you please provide us further explanation about those reasons and give us examples on cases in which those reasons have been applied? Also, we would ask you to inform about the criteria for evaluating the risk that a person may be subjected to enforced disappearance, and if there are decisions or cases in which authorities have refrained from expulsion, return, surrender, or extradite a person based on the risk of that person to be subject to an enforced disappearance. Also, you mentioned a three-stage protection procedure. You referred that when answering to question 17. And with that regard, we would ask you to inform if it is possible to appeal a decision on expulsion. To explain us what three-stage protection means. With regard to the non-refoulement clause. And also, if you could inform if that decision is possible to appeal, the decision of expulsion, return, surrender, or extradite a person, and if such a possibility exists, before which authorities, and under what procedures, and whether they have suspensive effect or not of the decision. According to the information you provided in the reply to the list of issues, the law prescribes that a person can stay a maximum of 90 days in an immigration center, and that period can be extended for another 90 days. You also informed that in cases where the alien does not cooperate or the state is not able to provide conditions for taking the decision, the person must be under supervision up to 18 months, and after this period must be released. With regard to that, could you explain to us the reasons of such terms in the law? Now I will turn into the secret detention issues. We acknowledge that the Criminal Procedure Code establishes procedures related to the rapid communication and access to counsel, as well as procedures relating to the implementation of measures of control over the execution of the detention and the prohibition of restriction of freedom and other rights. Can we infer that those safeguards and guarantees constitute a prohibition of secret detention, since there is no law that explicitly establishes the prohibition? And if there are any court decisions that could confirm that? Based on your response, in the sense that the duration of custody, I quote, shall be for the shortest necessary time, would you please provide us information on how this provision has been applied in practice, and also specifically indicate the maximum length that this shortest necessary time of custody has actually lasted in practice? Based on the information regarding the diminishing of the budgetary resources for the Ombudsman, which affected, as you said, its normal functioning in all aspects of its work, we would like to be informed on the measures taken in order to guarantee enough financial, human, and technical resources to enable it to carry out its functions effectively and independently. With regard to the registry, we take note of the information regarding how you keep and update the registrations of persons deprived from liberty and that there have been no complaints. Is there additional information that could you give us in this respect? And finally, with regard to training, you informed us that there are no judicial training specifically on the convention and its implementation, but that are projects for general training of judges and prosecutors for the next year, 2017. With this, please provide information if there are any projects or plans for specific training on the content and implementation of our convention, not only for judges and prosecutors, but also for all civil and military law enforcement personnel, as well as medical personnel and any other persons who might be involved in the custody or treatment of persons deprived of liberty, such as members of the police or migrant authorities. I will now give the floor to my colleague Santiago.